When I was younger, I really disliked the whole feel of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The whole concept of being judged, the symbols of the Book of Life, and especially the prayer in the Tana Tokef, which is central in the Ashkenazi tradition, the one which goes on about who will live and who will die, I found it quite frankly awful. It was only when I learned some of the concepts in the Kabbalah that I began to understand how distorted these symbols have become in the Judaism I was exposed to as a child in London, and I suspect many of you have had similar experiences yourselves. So in order to correct these distortions, we need to look clear-eyed once more at these concepts and see how the language of the Kabbalah teaches us what these symbols really mean. Let's start off with the name Rosh Hashanah, usually translated as the new year. It literally means the head of the year. In the Kabbalah, we learn that every spiritual entity has a head aspect and a body aspect. The head aspect is its potential aspect, the planning, if you like. The body is the carrying through in actual action. The spiritual entity we're discussing here is the year. The year is one spiritual entity. It has a head aspect, the Rosh, and a body aspect. Rosh Hashanah is thus the head aspect of the year. This is the reason why the tradition states that what happens on Rosh Hashanah decides what happens during the year. What it really implies is that Rosh Hashanah itself is an important day, energetically speaking, and the inner work we do on that day affects how we can put things into practice during the year. Now we need to ask ourselves, what is it that we want to put into practice? Rabbi Ashlag, the great Kabbalist, teaches that the word life does not at all refer to physical life, but to spiritual life. Spiritual life means being connected with the source of our life, the Holy Blessed One. Now we learn in the Kabbalah that the way we are alive spiritually and in connection is by becoming in affinity of form with the Creator. What does this mean? It means that just as He gives benefit unconditionally to all, so do we. He is compassionate and merciful. So are we. This is, of course, not easy. The name of God is the one who is good and does good. Yet in order to give us free choice, God's providence is concealed from us and His name is not obvious. Nevertheless, the more we try to act in faith in accordance with what our sages teach us, to love one's neighbour as oneself unconditionally, the more God does reveal Himself to us. This is the life we pray for on Rosh Hashanah. We want to intend to act in such a way that we inscribe ourselves in the Book of Life. It's we who do the inscribing. It's to do with our intentions. Now, Rosh Hashanah is also called the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment or the Day of the Strict Rule. What does this mean? Does it really mean we're all going to be judged? Not at all. The Zohar in Genesis teaches us as follows. Its words start off with a characteristically metaphorical image, which Rabbi Ashlag then explains in our own language. Listen to the words themselves. Come and see how it is on the day of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when the judgment is found in the world, and the adversary angel, called the Satan, stands to accuse. Then Israel needs to awaken with the shofar and to arouse the voice of the shofar, which is composed of water, fire, and air, which refer to the Sfirot, the divine channels of light, of Chesed, Gvurah, and Tiferet, and that each of them was made to make the sound of the voice from the shofar heard. This now follows Rabbi Ashlag's explanation. The 12 months of the year are the rectification, or the word in Hebrew, the tikkun, of the vessel of Malchut from its beginning to its end. And since at the end of the year, the tikkun is not completely finished until the final redemption, each year we need to go round again to add to its rectification. It's like the beginnings of a tree, like the rings of a tree. We start the cycle of the year again, but each time we are growing. The rectification of the Malchut, which is the Sfira all the souls belong to, starts again on the fourth day of creation, which is actually Rosh Hashanah, the first day of creation being the 25th day of Elul. And that was when the Malchut was brought into being. This is referred to in the inner meaning of the biblical scripture in Genesis. And God made the two large lights. There was the completion of the vessels of receiving, the vessels of creation. But although they were vessels for the light of God, the Chochmah, they lacked loving kindness. This is the inner meaning of the parable of the moon, which is told in the Midrash. The moon stands for the Sfira of Malchut, the ones we belong to. And she accused God. She complained, two kings cannot wear the same crown. This accusation of the Malchut is the basis for the myth of the accusation of Satan on Rosh Hashanah. What does this refer to? Who is accusing whom? It refers to the fact that the souls cannot receive God's light directly, God's light of Chochmah, God's light of wisdom, if they receive it for themselves alone. Before they receive it, they must have, first of all, the light of loving kindness, the light of giving, in order to act as a framework within which they can receive God's light. And therefore, the children of Israel wake up and sound the shofar, continues the Zohar. Now, what is this? The Zohar tells us that it is the shofar refers to the joining of the Malchut, which has got the problem of receiving for itself alone, with the Sfira, the divine light of Bina. Bina is the ultimate Sfira of loving kindness. So it unites the light of wisdom with the light of loving kindness. And then the three lines, the Chesed, which is the loving kindness or the water, the Gvura, which is the wisdom or the fire, and the Tiferet, which is the air or the middle line, the compassion, become as one. So, what is this teaching us about Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah says that when the Malchut, which is the Sfira that we belong to, first came into being, it had the strict rule of not being able to receive for itself alone, and therefore was not able to receive the light that God wanted to give it. The light of Chochmah, the light that God wants to give to his creation. And the Malchut accused. It said, hey, what's going on here? But the answer is, the joining of the Malchut, the vessels of receiving, with the vessels of giving. The joining of Malchut with Bina. And this is what we do when we blow the shofar. We're bringing in the joining of compassion, the joining of loving kindness. We sound the sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah for ourselves and for all the world. We're bringing the light of loving kindness and compassion into the world. This sound takes away the accusation. It drives away the feeling of unfairness, because the moment we're able to give, we're able to receive with the attitude of giving. And then we're not acting as closed vessels, but we're acting as infinite channels for God's love. So, this year, when you go to the synagogue or the Beit Knesset, remember, what an important day it is and what an important job you're doing there. Not just for yourself, but for all humanity. You're affirming a new living connection with the divine, which you're going to bring into practice during the coming year. Together, bringing love and loving kindness into the world. There's lots more we need to talk about Rosh Hashanah, but I don't have any more time left, and you probably don't have now either. But maybe we'll manage another one before Rosh Hashanah begins. Happy New Year, everybody.